I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome back to another episode of Dare Me. Today, we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 5, Parallel Trenches. This episode was not for the faint of heart, nor for the faint of mouth. As always, I am your host, Taylor Gates, and I'm joined by two lovely co-panelists today. To my left, we have Ashman.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here. Great episode to break down today.
Yeah, let's do it. And then to her left, we have Ebonet.
Hello.
Rocking the beret.
Yes. You guys, I told you my hair was a little wild today, so this was the fix. But, you know, it works.
It's beautiful.
It. Yeah, we got it. Coach French, beret. Oui, oui. It's all good.
Bonjour. Yeah. Let's go, guys.
That was our French lesson for the day.
You guys are welcome. That's all of it I know. So I literally give you all the knowledge that I have about this. So what did you guys think about this episode overall? We got some more action. We got some blood. We got a lot of stuff happened, I would say.
A bloody episode for sure. So much went down in this episode. Like, we have so many things to break down. I don't even know where to begin.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, it was a lot of good perspectives. I like this episode a lot because of, like, the fact that we broke it down between, like, three different perspectives. And we could see, like, what you thought, how you felt, what really happened. And then on top of that, it was, like, an extra discovery every time we saw a new perspective. So I was like, that was really cool.
I totally agree. I thought it was such a cool way to do it because I agree with you. Like, we found out some more things, like, in each person's, like, scene. And then the line deliveries were, like, a little bit different each time. So it was like, ooh. Ooh, this is how this person, like, heard it. This is how this person saw it. I thought it was a really cool technique to use, and I thought it was really good to use it for this episode because there were lots of mysteries kind of sprinkled throughout that we kind of got to solve as it went on. Let's actually put it together chronologically, though, so we can kind of put the puzzle in together and see the full picture. Let's talk about directly after the party. So Beth wakes up. Obviously at Colette's house, which is not ideal for, I would say, any of the characters involved. She also has lost her necklace and sees that she has bruises, has cuts kind of on her lips. She's just not really in a good place, and she kind of walks outside to Colette's deck to collect herself, and we see Colette sort of meet her out there and lecture slash comfort her, I would say. What did you guys think of their interaction?
I thought that it was genuine. I think it was a different situation for everyone to be in. For Beth, I think that she had a traumatic experience and she's just kind of unraveled and shocked and really doesn't, she hasn't even begun to process. She's just waking up. It's at a stranger's house, let alone it's Coach's house. And she's like, oh my God, this is the last place where I'm trying to be. And then Coach comes out, and I think it was genuine what she was asking her, like, are you okay? Is everything okay? But I think she may be speculating a little bit, too, like, how wild did it get last night? Because she may know from her own experience.
Yeah. I'm also wondering if she's kind of trying to sort of not warn Beth, but be like, okay, if something happened, you need to tell, like, me or Addie, but you can't tell, like, the police, because I feel like if she did, it would be just, like, a whole mess, you know? There's so many close ties to, like, the Marines and her and Will, and I just think that it would be really bad if that sort of got out. Did you also sort of get that feel?
Yeah,
that
definitely. Coach French, like, you know, we've talked about before, she is very self-preparation, right?
Yeah.
Like, where she wants to save herself first. But at the same time, I do feel like she does have the girls' backs, but I do think she goes a little back and forth. So I do think in this situation, she's, like, there for Beth to be like, yes, here, like, I got you, we're fine. But at the same time, I think she, like you said, does have a suspicion maybe that something more, it went a little further than what Beth is trying to give hints to. And so she's kind of like, okay, like, are you good? Did something happen? Let me know. So we can kind of, like, cover it up, fix it, or whatever.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I really liked seeing those two interact, too, because I think we always see Coach and Addie, or, like, maybe the three of them together. But I thought it was really cool to see them kind of just have a conversation, the two of them.
Especially because, you know, Beth doesn't really like her.
Exactly. So. And she doesn't really like Beth, I would say. Like, there's not a lot of mutual
love.
It's not a love.
It's not a love relationship at all.
Yeah, so this was complicated because there was some, like, trying to be sort of comforting, but also, like, we're not really, like, we're not buddy-buddy at all. So, yeah, I thought that was a really interesting scene. After that, we see Beth and Addie in the car. Like, Addie's driving home, and we do kind of see the fact that something more may have happened than Beth is alluding to when Kurtz keeps texting her somewhat aggressively, like, are you ready for round two? Like, did you have fun last night? And Beth has a pretty visceral reaction about, like, not wanting to talk to him. What are you guys speculating sort of happened there?
I think things went out of hand. I think that there was way too much alcohol. I think, you know, there was a loss of control, and, you know, I think more than what Beth maybe have had want to happen happened, and I don't know in what manner it happened, because we do see her with a lot of bruises. We see her post-reaction, just very traumatic to even his text. She's shaking. She's very disoriented in this episode, and that kind of leads me to believe that, okay, I don't know how much of this was free will or how much of this she even remembers. And she's really, really emotional in this episode. So I think she was violated, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're, like, in, like, a sexual relationship with someone, that's, like, the most vulnerable you could be with someone. Right. And so if someone takes advantage of that, or, like, because she clearly seems to be not remembering or a little too drunk. And it seems like when she's doing her flashbacks, she's, like, remembering, like, things as they come. So, like, she doesn't remember them right away. Mm-hmm. Right? When she wakes up, it's like, oh, my neck hurts. Or, oh, there's a bruise. I go to the bathroom. Let me look. So I think she's starting to remember things. And at that point, it's like, you don't remember, but you have bruises. Memories come back. You feel super violated.
Right.
And, but the way that Will was texting, I mean, not Will, sorry. The way that Kurtz was texting her, it seemed very, like, fun and games in a way to where he seems like nothing would happen, nothing was wrong. He still likes her, right? Or not maybe not likes her, but like wants to have sex with her again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, hey, like, ready for round two? Are you ready for this? Like, it didn't seem like he thought it went too far.
Right, right. And I think, you know, with that being said, it's because in a previous episode, we seen Addie and her, I mean, not Addie, Beth and her whole seductive scene to him. And she's on top of the table. I mean, she's definitely has her level of just seduction. So it's like even him to misread her, he's kind of like, we are on the same page about this, right? Are you ready for round two? Like, we both have this freakiness going on. And I think that's where these situations get so messy. Like, you have to be so careful with the message you put out and then the situation you get yourself in, because, you know, once a violation happens,
it's unchangeable.
You can't go back.
Didn't she have sex with him before already, like in another episode, in that like basement area?
Yeah.
Not the same guy?
I think it was. But I think it was obviously different this time because, she was obviously
totally different. But I'm saying,
no, I totally
in his perspective, not Will, sorry, but in Kurt's perspective, it's like, we've had sex before, we're having sex again. What's the problem?
I think it is important to remember, too, though, that, like, this is statutory rape no matter what. Like, she's a minor, and he's a recruiter guy that works at the school. So there's obviously power dynamics there, like, regardless of what, you know, she's doing. Like, I think that's also an important layer that we're probably going to see more of, because, like, he can't do this no matter if she consents or not anyway, right. So. Right.
This entire show has been about crossing fine lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, crossing fine lines.
I don't even know if they're fine anymore.
Right.
Like, thick lines they're crossing all the time.
We need caution tape.
Right.
Honestly, they completely would walk right through it, let's be honest. That would do absolutely nothing. But yeah, we see Beth, like, really shaken up about this. She's sort of out of it when she's trying to talk to Addie, and she's just really adamant about, like, not wanting help from Coach no matter what, even though Addie's like, you put me in, like, an actual impossible situation here. Like, I could not take you home to your house or to my house. Like, this is the only person I could call. But she is just not having it, and it's just, like, very much wanting to keep Coach, like, at as far distance as possible. Why do you think that is?
I don't think she wants Coach to see her. Like, she already doesn't trust her. So the last person she wants taking a personal look into her life is somebody that she doesn't trust. Like, and where she's at right now, like, she's in probably in one of the most vulnerable places she's ever been. She has trust issues with so many people in her life. And the last person she needs looking in is somebody she doesn't like or she doesn't trust.
Yeah, completely. And just to even give, like, a different perspective, like, with Addie, it's like I said, I was like, I can identify with her because I just feel like, you know, you try to do your best to help And then you're still kind of getting, like, slapped upside the face a little bit to be like, why'd you do this? And it was like, well, I really had no choice. It was either this or, like, or I was going to leave you in the car, like, by yourself, you know?
She was
like,
I was frantic. Exactly. I was frantic. Absolutely.
So it was like, I was just trying to help you. So it was like, even though she had the best intention, she still kind of got, like, in trouble a little bit with Addie and with Coach.
That's the thing. She's like, I'm already getting yelled at from Coach. Like, I don't need this from you, too. Like, right. Who's the reason I'm already in trouble?
And the thing is, like, Addie was, like, apologizing, was being apologetic. Like, oh, sorry, I messed up, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it was like, what else were you supposed to do?
Honestly.
Because her mom would have freaked out. And, like, in a way, it's like you kind of don't want your mom or my mom in the middle of this mess. Like, you kind of got yourself into this, and I'm just trying to help you get out of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want moms involved. I mean, moms kind of can take it to the next level sometimes, yeah. You know? So it's like, especially when you're in high school. Yeah. And her mom's a police officer.
Right.
So.
It's just a lot of, there's a lot of not good that could come out of that.
Exactly.
I do think it's probably possible that Beth also wants to push Coach away so much because I think that she knows that Coach kind of sees past her guard and all of the stuff that she's kind of trying to throw out. Because we see that on the deck. She keeps pushing and pushing, and I think that she's called her out before and she's going to keep calling her out, and Beth does not like that. She likes to be in control and she likes to wear that mask that no one can see through. But I think that Coach kind of can. I think that makes Beth pretty uncomfortable too. So I think there's definitely another reason, you know, she wouldn't want to be in that house with her too.
Because right, like you don't need safe. To know more about me than
right,
necessary.
Than you already do. Right. Yeah.
And that's probably for the both of them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because they see each other so well. Yeah, right. And guys, you can see us all the time. Evan A, can you tell us a little bit what's happening here at AfterBuzz? You know, beyond just this show.
Yeah, of course. You know, we love to be tuning in with you guys every Sunday night, talking about Dare Me, but there's so many other shows that we cover here at AfterBuzz. We do reality, we do drama. If you're a part of the Bachelor Nation, we got you covered. So please continue to make us the ESPN of TV Talk. Like, subscribe, comment, continue the conversation with us. We love to hear your opinions. We love for you to continue the conversation with us, what we're talking about, the topics we continue to bring up. This episode was extremely heavy, talking about sexual harassment. We'd love to hear, you know, what your thoughts are about that. Please like, subscribe, and comment. If you cannot watch our videos, you can always check us out on Spotify and on iTunes to make sure you give us that 5-star rating, you guys.
Woo! Thank you so much. Yeah, I love, like I said, I go and I stalk those comments religiously because I love hearing what you guys think. I literally just, like, love talking about the show. So.
I know. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to dissect, too, especially, like, so much mystery and, like, you know, deep characters, which is so cool. Let's talk a little bit about that conversation between Colette and Addie, because their relationship is just as rocky as they come, I feel like. And they were definitely, I would say, on a pretty low down in this week's episode. Right. Colette is getting sort of paranoid, I think, about this party and the fact that she's afraid something is going to, like, leak on, you know, their phones, because she's like, you guys record everything. You live your whole life on your phones. It's like, okay, grandma, like, chill out, Colette. But we see you on your phone hide or hole all the time, right. Okay? But I personally think that she kind of has a right to be sort of paranoid. Did you think that she, you know, was overreacting, or do you think that she was right to be so mad at Addie?
I think she has a right to be paranoid. She has so much that she's hiding, so obviously she's going to be paranoid. But I think the way she's going about it, like, I felt like she was guilt-tripping Addie, right? Like, you know, we've seen in previous episodes how she builds her up and she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to put you in the lead, this and that. And then she turns on her the last episode. So now I just feel like she's guilt-tripping her. But I think it's because she doesn't know what to do with Addie, because at the end of the day, when things go down, all the responsibility is going to fall on Colette. Right? Like, no matter which secret gets out, it's going to fall in her lap. So I think at this point, like, she's just kind of like, you know, I'm going to say what I need to say, and this dynamic may need to change between. She's not sure what to do.
Right.
So
she's kind of had a lot going on. Yeah. And I mean, it is true. She does have the entire team. Mm-hmm. She kind of got herself into this mess, for one, totally, cheating on her husband. So, I mean, that was number one. Like, she kind of got herself into it. And then now that she's getting the girls involved because they witnessed it, keeping it a secret. I mean, that's already putting you deep down in the hole already. But I do think the reason why she was so concerned about this party, even if the phones were taken away, was because it's just a little too close for comfort. Like, you know, she's sleeping with Will, and then you have her cheerleading girls messing around with, like, his military guys. They're clearly older. It's just a whole lot of, like, interesting dynamics, and obviously she's going to be, you know, paranoid because she's like, well, one, like you mentioned, like, they're recruiting for the school, so they're older. So that already doesn't look, that's another strike.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like, that's even closer to her secret. If, like, the girls are now, you know, well, hey, like, the girls get caught, then it's like, well, Coach was sleeping with Will, you right. know? It's right. like, they're throwing you under the bus in a minute.
Yeah. And I think even beyond that, like, beyond even her involvement with Will, it's a party. If that gets out, that's not going to look cute for Sutton Grove High School, you know, and the cheerleading squad. Like, who knows if her funding's going to be yanked? Who knows if she's going to have that PTA support? If it's all of her girls who are, like, sort of implicated in this. So I think, yeah, beyond her relationships, it's her job on the line too. So 100%. She has everything to lose because of this. So I think she was harsh, but I think that I definitely understand she was coming from in this situation, at least.
Hey guys, Brianna in the booth here. I just want to shout out, we have Logan Knight in the chat saying, I think Coach has every right, basically agreeing with you guys, to be upset about the whole party situation, since it won't look good if what happened got out, especially when they just made it into regionals because they worked so hard for it.
Yeah,
100%.
Thanks, Logan.
Yeah, thanks, Logan, absolutely. For having that chat.
Yes.
Let's talk about Will, because we see a little bit of him in this episode, too. He's texting Colette, like, saying that he misses her. And then they have this, like, kind of confrontation almost in the gym together, where he sort of tells her about Beth and Kurtz. What did you guys think of that whole interaction?
I think on a professional level, Will's panicked too. Like, he came into the gym and he's like, let me tell you what I know. And now your girl is ghosting him. So just a heads up, I don't really know what happened. So I think first and foremost, professionally, everyone's freaking out, right? Because everyone has their level of responsibility in it. On the affair part, I think that, you know, he's still kind of wondering, hey, are we still on? Are we not? You're not responding to my texts. And she's kind of like, listen, I'll get back to you. And back at home, we see her and Matt kind of beginning to reconcile. So there's so much uncertainty in this episode of who wants to do what,
right,
if they're going to do it. Like, you know.
Totally. And it was funny because Will totally came into that gym hot and sweaty. I was like, he was stressed. He was for sure stressed. So I was like, okay, like, because, you know, that is so true. You have his responsibility in it too, her responsibility. Mm-hmm. He's trying to cover both butts, and it's just a whole lot. But when Colette was like, I'm going to text you later, I almost felt like that was her kind of like pushing him away. Like, just being more trying to like cut off or sever that relationship, since, you know, she is trying to like figure it out with her husband. Mm. And like, there is a whole lot of messiness going on at this point in time where she's like, okay, I can't get caught again. Like, we gotta back off, cut this off. Like, I need breathing space to let everything die down before we even think about talking again, if we're gonna do that.
Yeah. So you think it's completely over between them?
I don't think it's completely over. I won't say that. I don't
Let's not go that far.
I don't think it's completely over. I do think that she still likes him and cares about him. There's so much history. They've known each other since high school. But I just think right now it's like she's trying to hurry up before like the time ticks away, if that makes sense. Like, she's trying to beat the clock in like this explosion happening. So
yeah. I think that's totally fair. And I'm not sure that Will's gonna like that. I'm not sure that he's like so patient, but I guess we'll.
You know what's okay? You know what? I'm gonna save that for the prediction part.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh, so much to unpack there. So much to predict. But we gotta continue breaking down the episode before we get there.
Yes.
So we see them practice before the pep rally, and we see Tacy's claws come out just a little bit. I guess actually a lot bit. I'm not even say a little bit. Where she's like, notices that Beth's necklace is missing, and it's like, oh, like, this is why Dad doesn't buy you nice things. Were you surprised that she's so vicious, or did you see her being a little snake?
I could see right through her. No, I think, you know, we seen in her in the episode before when they were with the therapist.
Yeah.
Totally negligent of her own behavior, milking her dad, like, totally being the victim. So for her to be, like, you know, just malicious now to her sister. What a mean thing to say. She already knows that Beth has this, you know, sadness with her relationship with her dad. And then she's like, no wonder why he doesn't buy you expensive things. Like, right. Almost insinuating, like, I always get expensive things because I know how to keep my gifts. Like,
well, guess right. what, girl? You may have the necklace, but Beth has her bow and arrow, which you certainly don't yeah, have. Right. So no. You can keep the necklace if, you know, Beth's better than you at cheerleading. I love the scene where Tacy, like, goes up to Coach, and Coach is just, like, done with her before she even opens her mouth. Like, I feel like Tacy is just so unliked. That poor thing.
Well, it's her own fault.
It is.
I mean, the thing is, she does have that, like, viciousness that Beth has, so it's like they clearly came from the same genes. But it's, like, at the, like, I don't know. My thing is just, like, you have to know your place. Like, she's a freshman, right?
Yeah.
So she's 14.
Fetus is what yeah, they call her.
Exactly. She's 14 on a varsity team. Like, you need to know your place. You're mm-hmm. not going to be doing bows and arrows and getting thrown up in the air and having these top spots that these mm-hmm. girls have worked, like, beyond high school for, mm-hmm. right? Like, their entire career for. And you think you're going to just step in and then be catty with them and then think that you're going to get your way? Mm-hmm. Like, that may work with your dad, boo, but it's not going to work here, you know?
Certainly not.
Especially
with
when your intention is to show somebody else up. Like, right. that does not work. When you join a team, you know, if you want to learn how to do something, then ask, learn how to do it. But her whole thing is like, I'm ready to do this, or watch me do this. Right. I can do this. And it's like, no, you're not winning.
You're, right.
You haven't won
you're
yet.
You're just not. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I do. It's
not your
say,
time.
Yeah. As much as I, like, love to hate her, she's so funny on Instagram. And the actress that plays Tacy and the actress that plays Beth are so fun to watch because they're, like, BFFs in real life. I think, like, they're always posting selfies together. I'm like, this is so cute that they have such a good relationship outside of the show because right. this is some good acting, because they certainly know in the on the screen.
Such good acting. And I was like, the character that plays Beth, she has such a stank face, like, the entire five episodes that we've seen. I don't know if it's going to get any better with the other five, right? But, I mean, that is some good acting. I feel like it's very difficult to be, like, stank face the entire time.
Good job, Marlo Kelly.
Yeah, she's amazing. I just think it's, I love following them all on Instagram. So, like, they all seem so nice and close, but, like, yikes, that's definitely not what's happening on screen. So I just think that's always so funny. But then we go, after practice, we have this pep rally, and we do find out that they made it to regionals, which, like, yay, that's what we've been wanting, that's what we've been waiting for. But that quickly, you know, gets overshadowed when things literally and figuratively fall apart. Tacy decides, you know what, I am going to do this bow and arrow, even though everyone has advised me not to do that. Right. And she falls, and she gets Riri's teeth knocked clean out. What did you guys, were you expecting that? Did you think something like this was going to happen? Were you, like, pretty shocked?
No, I totally thought something was going to happen. I felt like when the news broke, when they said it before the pep rally, my initial thought was like, okay, what's going to happen? Because everyone's so amped up on, like, their adrenaline. They're so excited. Everyone's like, yeah, my God, we made it to regionals. And then, you know, sometimes you could overshadow something, overthink something, you know, you don't perform right. That's why, like, when sports teams, like football, they're like, don't celebrate in the end zone and stuff like that, because you're missing a whole play. Like, they're, like, playing down the field and you're already missing it because you're over here celebrating. So it's, like, to always stay in the moment, and sometimes really good news can kind of, like, push you out of that. So I was like, oh, no. I was like, maybe they should have said that after they did their little routine. So I was, like, a little worried. But I didn't think that was going to happen, like, getting the teeth knocked out.
Right. Did you think it was going to happen because of Tacy and her trying to, like, show off? Or did you think it was something else? Because we didn't really know who had caused it until, like, halfway through.
I didn't know what happened. Like, one, it happened so fast.
So fast.
So it's like, you know, until they showed what happened after, I think, you know, again, Tacy was doing way too much. She's like, this is my moment to shine. I'm going to do it. We've seen in the practice beforehand when she asked Coach, she's like, can I practice this? Coach is like, no, don't even bother. And then she deliberately goes during, you know, that pep rally when everybody's so excited, and she attempts to do it. And even Coach is like, put your leg down, you know?
On the sideline. No.
Right. Literally. And as a result, like, Riri ends up you know, she's a victim of it.
I know.
She was just there and she literally got her teeth knocked. That was such a bloody mess.
You guys, that was such a bloody
mess. I was like looking the other direction. Right, I was like, oh my God.
The thing is, they kept showing it like 3 or 4 times and I was like, oh my God.
We're going to see it happen. Stop
it with the
blood
and the teeth. And it was like so, oh, it was
hanging like from the gut.
It was so gross. I couldn't. But honestly, did you really think that Tacy kicked Riri that hard for like that many teeth to be knocked out with that many teeth and that much blood? It was like,
she's coming from an angle that's right above her. Ow. I can see it happening. And I just want to say I'm proud of myself because I knew the second she asked Coach and Coach said no, I'm like, oh, she's doing it anyway.
Oh, really?
She's not going to wait for this. I don't trust this girl. So I just want
to
say,
yeah, she's not to be trusted.
We knew that. I at least knew that you were sketchy, like, from the get-go. But yeah, yikes. I was with Beth because Beth had, like, pretty much a straight-up panic attack. And I was like, me too, girl. Like, that would be me on that mat. Like, you know, Addie's trying to be, like, proactive, getting the teeth, getting the milk.
You guys, why was he drinking milk? Anyone else thought that was weird?
I had, like, a big jug, too.
That was weird. I mean, are we in middle school? Like, I don't know who drinks milk. I just remember this one time when I went on, like, a school field trip. And they were like, oh, we're going to have drinks, right? People were like, I'm a lactase, whatever. I'm allergic to milk. We get there, we have pizza with milk. And I was like, ew, who eats? And the people got lemonade, the people that didn't get milk. I was like, I should have said I'm allergic.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm just saying, in high school, who's drinking, like, a whole thing of milk? That is just so weird.
How do you refrigerate that when you're in school?
Maybe it was, like, after lunchtime, but, again, why are you drinking milk with your lunch? Like, yeah, it's so weird.
That was a lot. But, like, I guess, thank God, like, because her teeth are going to be fine now. Right.
Oh. Thank goodness he had that milk on hand. Right? Now we have a fact. I did not know milk kept teeth alive. Now I know.
Addie knew what to do with it.
Right. So, like, if that ever happens, you guys, put your teeth in the milk. Now we know.
Fact check it, though.
I love how we are seeing that Addie's, like, natural characteristic is to be really, like, when something is, like, burning down, she will run straight into the fire. Like, she is the one who's, like, getting the teeth. In the last episode, she's, like, the one who's taking care of Beth when the police are coming. And so I think it's really cool to see, like, when it comes down to it, Addie is great in, like, a horrible, like, desperate situation. And I don't think Colette and Beth necessarily are in ways. So I think that's really interesting to see.
Yeah, which is why they lean on Addie, I think, so much. Because I think they know that they can kind of manipulate her a little bit. Because she is so nice. She is so caring. She is sweet. And she wants to be there. So I think they both know that. And so they take advantage of her.
Yeah, I really like that. Although we did see Colette, like, she was pretty good in the situation, too, I would say. She kind of knew exactly what to do. She stayed and tried to, like, calm Riri down. But despite that, Riri's mom is not super happy with Coach at all. I personally didn't really think it was fair how she was like, this is on you, like, if you were doing your job. What did you guys think?
I thought the mom was being emotional. You know, like, right. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that falls on Coach's, you know, on Colette. Like, I don't even think the mom knows the coach on that level. I think the mom was just being emotional and then just lashed out to the coach because she's like, hey, my daughter's a part of your squad. What happened? But I think it was emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the mom is being a mom. You want to be protective of your baby cub. Mm-hmm. And she got hurt on Colette's watch. Wasn't Colette's fault. It wasn't like Colette kicked her in the face.
Go yell at Tacy.
Yeah, exactly. Tacy was the one that was doing the most. Exactly. Okay, so it's kind of like, I don't know. It was too much.
File a suit against Burt Cassidy.
Yeah.
You might. I would like to see it.
That's right. The guy.
Right. That's the one you want.
Yeah. I thought it was unfair, too. But I think that Colette was kind of shaken by it, to be honest. I think she was like, oh, shoot. Like, is this my fault? I don't know. I feel like she was a little bit shaken after
that comment.
That
was weird to me, though. It was kind of like, why is she so taken aback by this situation that the mom said?
Yeah, I think she just feels so much guilt about everything. It doesn't matter who says what to her. Like, you know when you have those your own skeletons in your closet, it doesn't matter who says what, like, you're going to bubble up inside.
Right.
And I think she's on such a level of uncertainty, this level, that no matter, you know, if it's Will that she lashed out at the locker room, she's like, why? You know, are you seeing her for this reason? She was seeing herself in it. The mom says something and she's like, wait, is this on me? So I just think, you know, she's such a mess that she created. And now anything that comes at her, she's unsure about.
Right.
Because she's acting
unauthentic.
She's not being real. That's what I'm
say. I love that. Yeah. I think it might also go back to last week where she forgot to pick her kid up when she was with Will. I think that she's feeling like a pretty bad parent right now, honestly. And I think that Riri's mom was like, you're a mother. Like, you should know that this is, you know, inappropriate.
Maybe that's the comment that got her.
I do. Mm-hmm. I think that she's feeling like a pretty bad mom right now. And I think this is just like adding fuel to that fire inside of her. Like,
guilt is no fun.
It definitely isn't. We also see more of Addie's mom back in this episode, which I actually really liked her in this episode. I knew that she was going to be suspicious about where she was on Friday. And I was like, I don't understand why she's so suspicious. But then we remember that they took, you know, Addie's phones. They took everyone's phone, so she couldn't text her back. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. What did you guys think about Addie's mom? Because we see her also kind of try to comfort Beth, too, a little bit.
Did she know where they were on Friday?
No, she thought Addie was at Beth's house, just hanging out.
Okay, that's right.
I think we see she's not a fan of Beth's mom. Like, she's very, you know, she's known the girls forever. She's known the family. I liked seeing her as well in this episode. I think her wisdom showed up for her. Like, hey, like, I know you just weren't at Beth's house. I know what happens at Beth's house. I know her mom. And so I like that she wasn't being oblivious to anything. She's like, hey, I'm here for you. And you and I need to have a transparent relationship. Like, I'm your mom and I'm going to protect you. I like the way that she stood in for Beth in the end as well. Like, was like, hey, how about you come over? She kind of, you know, I felt like she was taking her back to a place of comfort. Mm-hmm. And she might not know what Beth is going through right now, but just to step in and say, hey, honey, remember those sleepovers? Like, you can come in. So I think she did a great job, like, standing wherever she could in this episode.
Yeah, definitely. I think we finally get to see that nice trait that you guys are all saying in episode one.
Yeah,
that I was not seeing.
I saw it from the beginning. Right.
I was not seeing any of this. I was like, she's mean. She's cranky. Oh, my goodness. But, like, okay. I take it back for this episode. She definitely was, like, very nice, caring, very sweet mom. Was taking care of her daughter and her daughter's friend. She knows something's going on.
Yeah.
And tried to, you know, again, like you said, show the comfort. Show, like, here, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. I know your mom.
Right.
And I know your mom's wild. So you need someone to be there for you. I'm here.
Right. Yeah. And it showed, I think, the audience about how much history, like, Beth and Addie have, because they were talking about sleepovers and they were super young, like, playing with the Ouija board. And obviously we kind of, I mean, knew that, but it was nice to see, like, even the mom was, like, kind of her second mom, I think, in elementary school, like, how that sort of implied there. So I think it's nice to see, like, oh, they've been friends for a long, long time. So it's really, when they don't connect, it's, like, really jarring because they've been together for so long and so close. We also see at the end of this episode, Beth sort of regains her top girl spot. At least it looks like it. And we kind of have that voiceover of Addie being like, yeah, we're each other's memories. Do you think that we're going to be on the up and up going forward? Or do you think that the more pyramids are going to fall down?
More pyramids are falling. What the heck? We did not get the climax. I mean, the climax can't be that, like, Ruby's teeth fell out. Like, come on, that can't be. Yeah. We still have secrets to uncover here, Taylor. But my thing was this. When Beth was, she's like, Beth is my memory and I am hers. I didn't understand that.
I think it just goes back to,
like, that's
how we saw that they were so, so close in elementary school. Like, they know each other so well. I think it's that. And obviously, I think they have a deeper connection, like, that we're going to see. I think, like, other things have happened between them, but I just think they're so close.
Yeah, but Beth was kind of quoting Addie the cold shoulder this entire episode. Like, was not
this entire series, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, but in a way, like, this episode, I feel like she was more like,
That's true.
Like, one word answer, like, that text, that guy that you're texting is just, like, one word answers. That's literally how I felt Beth's energy today. It was kind of like, So I was like, so when she said, I am her memories and she is mine, I was like, huh? Like, you didn't even connect this episode.
Mm. And I think it's because everything that Beth is going through. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. Like, how sorry I feel for Beth in this episode. You know, last episode, I had read that a statement from Marlo Kelly where she wanted the audience to say, like, hey, don't just judge her yet. We're going to really see why she is the way and what she's going through. And I think even her being standoffish to Addie, it's kind of like, you know, she doesn't know who to trust or who to be comforted by, because it's like people that, you know, Addie was so close to her. And then this series, we see, you know, Addie trying to find her own way. So their friendship being tested. But overall, it's like, you know, I just feel so bad for her in every single way in this episode.
Yeah. I think she's the kind of person, when things happen to her, she retreats into herself and tries to push everyone else away. But we will keep seeing week after week, but we still have much more to talk about. We actually have some trivia for you guys today.
Yes. So I'm going to do two questions. So it's a true or false. Okay. So in order for it to be determined sexual harassment, the victim has to be of the opposite sex of the harasser. True or false?
False.
So it's basically asking, like, for it to be considered sexual harassment, a man has to touch you.
No, false. Okay. Absolutely false.
Okay. Yeah. That's totally correct. That is false. So you can totally be harassed by a woman if you're a woman, or a man if you're a man.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's important to note, too, because a lot of times, it's not so relevant on this show, but, like, guys will not report if, you know, they're being harassed by another man because of the stigma.
Which is crazy. I mean, but we did see, like, Terry Crews, he kind of came out with that whole sexual harassment case that was kind of, like, a big deal, and everyone was kind of giving him a little bit of mess about it. But then the second question, sexual harassment is not limited to physical contact. It may occur any time that an individual is uncomfortable with another person's approach. True or false?
True.
True.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Yes, you guys. I just wanted to give a little bit education on sexual harassment. I feel like it is something that has been talked about in the media, you know, as of like a few years. We have the Me Too movement, and people are standing up and finally kind of giving their voices to this topic. This episode was really heavy on sexual harassment and maybe things going too far in sexual consent. And so this was just like one way to kind of bring a little bit more attention to that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that you brought that up. And I think the show is doing such a good job of kind of bringing that conversation up too. And I love that they included the hotline at the end of this episode. If you guys need that, you can always Google it if you need, you know, any help about sexual harassment or assault. And obviously it was on the screen at the end of this episode too. So definitely reach out if you're ever, you know, in a situation like that. So thank you so much for bringing that up. I love that we're continuing to have these really important conversations. We also have some news for you guys today.
Absolutely. You guys, so the show is doing a wonderful job. Dare Me is getting quite the praise. It recently was certified by Rotten Tomatoes as being fresh.
Woo!
And you guys, this is a really big deal because Rotten Tomatoes is obviously like this, you know, huge critic reviewer. They've been around. They're credible. So you will either get a fresh or a rotten for them. And the show just got fresh. And the reason why this is a big deal is this. Because to earn this certification, the show must have a steady score of 75% or higher after 20 reviews and 5 reviews from top critics.
Wow.
So you guys, this is episode 5 we just covered, and the show has received all that.
That's awesome.
Literally that's amazing. Steady and 75% and over. So Dare Me is now certified fresh.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So couldn't agree more. I love how the critics like it. I think it's finding a really cool audience with you guys, obviously, who are listening. I am like a Twitter addict, so I love seeing what people are saying on there, too. So it's just exciting, like, that the show is really finding such a big and cool audience.
It is.
Awesome. Okay. Let's get into predictions. We've been dying to do it all episode, I feel like. Emine, you had one earlier you were going to say for us.
Okay, I have two. Is that bad? Can I have two?
You can have as many as you want.
Okay. So my prediction for one is I think that Coach also has been molested or sexually assaulted before. Mm. I'm not sure if we talked about that before in another like episode, but I feel like, because we kept saying that they're parallel and they see each other and she sees Beth. And so I feel like she can relate in that way. And maybe that's why she's also so standoffish and so weird when it comes to like Matt and like comes to her own relationships. Right. My other one is that I think we're so stressed out about the girls revealing the secret about Will and Colette. And I really think that like if Beth keeps pushing him away,
and doesn't come back around soon, he's going to be the one to spill the secret.
Oh, Colette, you mean?
No, Will will be the one to spill the secret about Colette.
If Colette doesn't come back
around. If Colette doesn't come back around, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good prediction.
That's a good one. My prediction is I think we're going to see a lot more around Beth and that whole episode that took place. I think we're going to start seeing the flashbacks happen, and she's going to start remembering what happened to her. And we'll see if she acts out or not. I think we're going to see maybe more of her competition side because we know she's not one to really deal with her emotions. So who knows how that's going to take off, especially now that we know they're going to the regionals. It's going to be big. We're going to see so much competition that's going to happen, and it's going to be exciting.
I totally agree. Yeah. I also think that I agree with you, Ebony, that I think that Colette is going to sort of push him away, but I think there's going to be something that triggers her, and she's going to come running back to him, and
it's going
to
be too late.
It'll be either too late or like someone's going to catch him right away, and we're so worried about this photo, and then someone else is going to leak it, or they're going to get caught in the exact moment. I also don't know what's going to happen, but I hope we see what happens to Riri, because I hope girlfriend has her teeth next time we see
her.
Same,
poor girl.
And I also think that people are going to be even harder on Tacy now because, I mean, she caused this to happen. And not only is, you know, Riri feeling the pain of it, but they kind of embarrassed themselves at the pep rally because of it. So I think that she is going to be, like, even more ostracized than she already is.
Right. And maybe she makes it worse for herself.
To be. Yeah, honestly. Guys,
we do have, sorry to put in one more time, Logan has a prediction in the chat. Hyper Coach's husband might find out about her and Will, which is going to cause them to get a divorce, and she's going to go to Addie or Will for comfort.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good prediction.
Yes, Logan. Thank you so much for that prediction.
Thank you. I love how active you are in the chat, Logan. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
I think that pretty much wraps up this episode, but thank you guys so much for joining us. You can always find us on social media, too, if you want to continue talking about Dare Me. Ebony, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at EbonyChapman12.
You can find me on Instagram at Insights by Ish.
And you guys can find me on Twitter, @Alphabet_Ann, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. And we will see you on February 9th, which is when the next episode premieres. So see you in about 2 weeks. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.